on, Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord!
Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink. The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to Three in the Box, formerly known as Puckett and Frunk. Way back in the far, far back, we're back in our original home of the Spring Street Tavern and Club Underground. To my immediate left, I've got Jive Midnight.
Hey!
And then, of course, Finnish Wild Mafia Aaron.
Yo, yo, yo.
And then Kenny Squeak, Little Bitch Galore, sitting at the far end by the computers.
Hey, now, who invited this guy? Who is this guy? What's his voice?
We have a ton of guests. I'm so happy to be back and be on the show again. And we've got an insane amount of other people with us. I'll actually pass it off to any of you three.
Let's let Aaron do it.
All right.
MC this.
This is episode 170 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. With me is the Meat Beast.
Hi, guys. I'm so happy to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
If you remember from episode one.
Episode one.
And episode negative 32.
The Phantom Josh.
Yes. And we'll just go round robin here. We have Mr. Justin Caesar.
Hello.
We have Mr. Chris Frost.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
We have the Tim Nato.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I got to say, that was pretty close.
Yeah.
Damn, you're spot on.
Mr. Derek Felska.
Adley Odley.
And Mr. Teresa Harris.
Okay.
Off to a
I wouldn't
start.
Go there. Yeah.
Welcome to the shit show.
Oh, and we don't forget Mr. Danley Heatley sitting in the middle of the table.
Yeah, we have Danny Heatley.
What all have you done to him since I've been gone?
Some fireworks.
He looks like he has had some burn damage.
Yeah, that's from the car crash.
It was a fiery car crash.
We tried launching him into space with a bunch of bottle rockets.
Somehow he didn't die.
Why wouldn't you?
We blew off his hand with a...
That was a BB gun, I think.
That might have been the BB gun.
Or the firecracker.
That could have been the firecracker that I think we replaced his hockey stick with.
Yeah. Good times. So yeah, we got a ton of people here.
Ton of people.
Yes. Do we talk about the wild? Should we just get into the wild?
Why not?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
So, wild week. We only had two games in the last show, but they're both wins, both at home. So, I'm happy. You guys happy?
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah,
so far.
Pretty good.
Well, I mean, my DVR's been fucking up, and my lady has been, she decided to... She wanted to binge watch Letterkenny after getting introduced to it.
Well,
so
hey,
I didn't get a chance to actually
pitter patter.
Watch the show. Yeah,
let's get at her.
How are you now? But yeah, so unfortunately, I've only been able to watch the highlights, and I get to go home and wait for her to fall asleep and watch the last two games in their entirety.
Well, honestly, they were both great games that ended up kind of coming down to the third period.
Yeah,
which is good to see them actually doing well at and. Watching the highlights? Yeah. Oh, God.
So game one was against the Sens. Wild win, 6-4. I think the most notable thing is Dubnyk getting pulled near the end for Stalock. Stalock gets the win with one save. So we know it was Stalock that won the game for the Wild.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure
it was.
Because, yeah, one shot really would have made the difference in a two-point game. So, you know, we got that going for us. Dumba and Stahl each scored twice.
Dumba's finally living up to our predictions way back in the far, far back.
Yeah.
It is nice to see him actually...
like, everything we said about him back around the table in the old studio is coming to fruition this season.
Well, that and he's getting paid like he should. Yeah. He's playing like he gets paid like...
You know, I remember, that might help. Like, last year during the expansion draft, I ripped on the Wild incessantly for going through all those hoops to protect Dumba, and I was absolutely wrong about that.
Wow, I'm just thinking, with all these people around the table, I think you should say your name before you speak people know who's talking. Yeah. This is Justin.
This is Justin. I was wrong. I can admit that.
Justin's a big man. He can admit when, you know, he might not have predicted correctly. That's okay.
I did not.
We all try to make our predictions.
I don't know. I still miss Hala, though.
I miss Hala.
I miss Hala.
I'm not
Vegas
missing
is missing Hala right now.
Vegas is missing Hala. Yeah. Not missing his injury.
As much as I miss Hala, I'm glad to see him actually doing well, even in the playoffs last season.
Agree.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it's Tuck is chopped liver on top of that, so.
Then there's that.
You know.
Weren't we just looking up you could get Tuck to call you for.
Yeah, for like $25, you can have Alex Tuck call you.
You can get tucked in at night.
Yeah, it's I think it's cameo.com. You can have.
Don't you have a sad trombone sounder you can do after that?
I probably do.
That works too.
That fits.
So forget what 12 minutes of a game and then it's over.
Now you're just randomly hitting samples.
Half of them might be okay and fitting.
We're going to figure it out as we go.
At least they're not
never
delayed.
Left.
Yeah.
So,
perfect.
So at the end of the game, at least in the game yesterday, we were making a big much ado about Staylock coming in. Staylock actually had a great game yesterday. And we didn't get to see Kapanen because he was on the bench. Come up from Iowa. He's had a great Iowa season here, but he hasn't gotten the start yet for the Wild. Hopefully Dubnyk will be back. How do you guys feel about Staylock and his lock on the number two spot right now?
I'm fine with it. I think, Kapanen is still years off from being in the NHL regularly, and Staylock isn't the future at the position for the Wild, so just give it some more years. Like, you still have a couple more years at Dubs, and that'll be fine.
And Staylock is definitely a solid stand-up backup goalie. I mean,
he's not doing much standing up. He's flying on, flopping
true.
All around.
He's our floppy goalie, and maybe that makes him look a little bit more flashy. Last night you saw the big. He gives up a big rebound, maybe just to make himself look good by making the big sprawling save there. But
he is essentially like a dwarf as far as NHL goalies go.
Dwarf at 6'1".
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 6'1", tiny. Yeah, just an itty-bitty guy. But
I wish I was 6'1".
I didn't think he was that
I wish solid was a little bit
until
taller.
Recently. Like, I've been very impressed with what I've gotten to see out of him in the last few games since he's been starting and getting the nod more often.
Well, I liked Staylock even when he was with the Sharks. I think there's too much of the league has too much of a hard-on on giant goalies, and you have to have Pang was a goaltender at one point. Granted, it was a different era, but
he was barely as tall as the net.
But I think athleticism should balance out some of that at least. Well,
no, totally. I'm seeing better performance out of Staylock that makes me believe in him more. Out of the games I've gotten to see this season, I'm actually behind him now.
Well, personally, I put him on what I call the Kemper scale. Which is
Kemper scale.
All right, I got to hear this.
How full is your glass of milk?
The Kemper scale is based on how badly you need to shit every time you watch him play.
like how tightly your sphincter clutches
exactly.
Every time he's on the ice.
Yeah. And, when Kemper was playing, it was a full-on 11 because you've got to turn it up to 11. But Staylock, he sits, he's 6 or 7. He kind of goes up a little bit. He gets into the red zone every now and then, but I think he's pretty solid.
That's why he always scared me.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get back into the crease quick enough.
Yeah.
It makes it exciting, at least,
It kind of reminded me of Manny Fernandez with less of the smelling salts capsule.
I forgot about Manny Fernandez. Wake you up. Like, you're in the middle of a fucking game. What do you need to be woken up for? What the fuck are you doing
back
there?
That's why he had 3 water bottles. 2 of them were full of smelling salts. So every time they crossed the blue line, he could crack one and throw it behind him. You'd just see him scattered over the ice.
Last night.
That's the wrong one.
Appropriate and great. Oh, my God. Great sample of that.
I don't know. I think that this is Derek, by the way.
We're past that, Derek.
Welcome, Derek.
Nobody's announcing their names anymore.
Everybody look at the name tags.
We'll do some ADR and have somebody overdubbing who's talking at any point.
Well, I was just going to say, I kind of with Aaron and the fact that I think it's I think it's really great to have a goaltender that doesn't fit the big butterfly mold where it's just a matter of playing angles and it's kind of the same boring thing. There is something fun to watch an athletic goaltender, which is really kind of a throwback style the way goaltenders used to be when, you know, it's stacking the pads and things like that. And
watching Hasek flop around on the ice.
Well, it's different than that even. In fact, it's more like I'm going to go real old school. It's like Tony Esposito. You know, you got a person that's going to stack the pads and move around.
No helmet?
Tony Esposito had a helmet.
He still wore a helmet or like, just a mask?
You're thinking like Gump Worsley or something like that.
Did Esposito have a helmet or a mask?
Though? He had a helmet.
Yeah, full Jason or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing about Alex Stalock, though, is that's has been the way he's played his entire career, even when he was in high school, kid at South St. Paul. If you ever get a chance, watch his old game against Breck in the quarterfinals. He made some dramatic saves, and it was a shootout kind of game. And I don't know. To me, that's kind of entertaining to watch.
I agree. I like that style of goaltending. And I know I've said so before. You know, I appreciate the style of play that he brings there. It's definitely a little bit more, like you said, there's a little bit more excitement than just I'm in the correct spot to take up as much space as I can, right?
I'm with you 100%, and that's entirely why I made the comparison on Manny, because he was always the one that made me nervous back in, 2004 or 2003, whatever it was, when we made the playoff run. And,
yeah. And the fact that Manny pouted all the time, too.
Oh, yeah. It didn't help that Lemaire's, niece was... Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I thought you were going to say Manny was his niece.
His niece's husband, yeah.
And Stalock's probably like a top five puck handling goalie. I mean, 2 assists on the year already.
Yeah. Now he just needs a goal.
And let's face it, I think Ottawa would take Stalock in a heartbeat. If you look at Ottawa's goaltending numbers, oh boy.
Very true.
Oh God, yes.
Oh. So you know, aside from that, though, the Wild, as I did allude to, the Wild also won Game 2 of the week. It's weird only having 2 games this week, but
we even recorded early.
The 2 I didn't get to watch. The previous 2 I got to watch. Damn it.
I mean, in both those wins, isn't there stuff to be worried about? Like, you let Ottawa back in the game. You let Winnipeg jump out to a 2-goal lead on you.
Especially last night, you know, you had like 50 power plays over the whole night. And it was they were giving pity power plays to Winnipeg just to try to balance things out a little bit. And
well, they even tried jumping into their own boards, into their own bench to start something.
Tossing Sealer in the bench.
Sealer ended up in the bench, and so did Foligno.
Yeah.
Good God.
So, actually, on that point, and didn't we – well, one, we had a true 3 in the box. It was like me and Kenny were watching. We're like, "Wow, this is a great way to end the show." Is like the day before we have an actual 3 in the box, and
with Suter being one of them,
even more fitting.
Oh man, Josh, we're just spoiling all this shit for you. Are you sure you wanted to be on this show?
You know, you asked. How could I say no? Could I say no? When you guys asked me a couple of times in the last couple of seasons, we need to have you on as a guest. Sure, yeah, no problem. And the season that my DVR is fucking up and everything else is going wrong, and the time my lady won't let me watch the games to prep for it, this is what I get to be here. Yeah,
you haven't been checking your phone all week.
Because I already know due to watching the highlights to prep.
Just because you look like the GIMP don't mean you play like the GIMP.
That kind of works.
There was who all was in the box?
12 minutes of a game and it's over?
It was
Sealer.
Okay.
Sealer.
Suter.
Suter.
I think Greenway was
in there.
Okay. Yep. That actually makes sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense. Like, Foligno should have been in there, not Greenway.
Yeah. I didn't still don't know how they assess those penalties.
But wasn't Greenway having to serve this extra? Because didn't Sealer get 2 penalties?
Was that what it was?
Serve it?
Yep. Oh, okay.
But I don't understand how how Winnipeg got a 4-minute major, and the Wild got a 4-minute double minor. The Wild got 2 2-minutes, yet it was still 5-on-5 hockey.
They were offsetting.
Toronto math.
those Canadian mathematicians.
Math,
well, yeah, they do 65 penalty minutes on the dollar or something like that. Yeah.
It confuses me as much as when my kids bring home their math homework to, and ask me for help these days.
My landlady's like from Toronto. I'll go check with her on how that works out.
They don't do math like they did when I was in school.
No, they don't.
I have no clue.
Aaron, this is what you get to look forward to.
There's a joke sitting there somewhere, and I just...
I think to be fair, Jive couldn't have done it even if they were teaching it the old way.
That's what I was looking for.
Back when it was just sticks and stones.
So, you know.
That's how we used to play hockey, sticks and stones. Yeah. Shoot them through your window.
I thought you got the wrist for it.
I thought you were saying that's all you could. That's all you had back in the Stone Age was sticks and stones.
That's right.
Wait, are we trying to say that Jive's the eldest of us in here?
No.
Okay, just checking.
That was a quick response.
I think you got me there, don't you?
Yeah, I believe so. I was like, man, if you're going to call him old, fuck off.
Yeah, you're old too. What's your point?
That's why they stuck us down on this end of the table.
Yeah, that's why we're at the butt end of the table.
Well, the butt of something.
Oh, they had to put us on the black table, too. You notice that?
Yep.
Wait. Hold on. You do realize that we're at the other end of the table? Like, the other butt end of the table, and we're at the same black table?
Yeah, you also have extra tables for your beverages. You have extra tables for your beverages and computers, don't you?
Wait, hold on.
Back to the show.
Wow,
everybody's looking at us like, Mom, Dad, quit fighting. We're looking across the table, and it's just like, what are these guys doing?
Just trying to figure out what happened to your fucking show.
We derailed for a second.
Don't make me turn this car around.
Okay, Dad.
I don't know, do we want to talk any more about the week at hand, or?
Maybe lost in the shuffle, like, both games got dicey, but the Wild, resilient this year, found ways to pull it out. Better call Stahl twice.
They did a better job of pulling out than Jive.
Great, now we have to pay Bob Odenkirk.
It's a good thing I don't know where the rim shot is.
But wouldn't you say this comeback now makes the Chicago game that much worse?
Yes. I agree.
Fair. Yeah.
100%.
And the Buffalo game.
Oh, God damn it.
We let him out.
It hurts, but Buffalo is not the Buffalo of
season. It's not vastly improved.
Right.
They've won eight in a row now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Pominville.
It hurts that Pominville got the game winner.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Pominville get. Thank you, Kenny.
And Duchesne's actually
right
living up
that.
To it now, all of a sudden.
Johan Larson is just.
His first game. Way back in the far, far back, and why you're still in the league with these assholes. And
well, he rejoined.
I rejoined. I had to leave for 2 years.
That stick that's up there and
vanished.
All that. I actually did a pickup right away in the first season on Duchesne, and these guys can stand by that because the first game of the season, Duchesne scored a hat trick on the first year we had our fantasy hockey league.
And then what?
We got it.
I shit the bed after that, but still.
Yeah. I was going to say Nikita Filatov also scored a fucking hat trick against the Wild in his rookie season. What happened there?
Yeah. Duchesne, however, I had hope for, and he actually did well that season. Him coming into his own, I can stand behind. He should have been there the last couple, but the Avalanche definitely were in a bad spot for our... He wanted to get traded, and we all know that. And he could finally find his legs in a team that has to rebuild.
Why are we talking about Duchesne-us?
Because I'm an asshole.
The Duchesne?
Duchesne is.
We're just talking about how. Oh, wait, no. Duchesne was at Ottawa, and we were talking about Buffalo. What the hell's wrong with me?
He's in Colorado now.
He was in Colorado.
Who? What?
Duchesne was Colorado.
Duchesne was in Colorado, but he's with Ottawa now.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Buffalo, and I brought up Duchesne, and it doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. Cut that out. Cut that whole
bit
out.
Just can go.
Nope,
and make it gone. Warts and all.
Oh, it's Stan.
It's Stan.
We all know that. We both sound like idiots.
The guy who's talking about our show derailing derailed us even further.
Yep.
Anyway.
I'm just testing out my samples. Jeez.
They work.
Well, I just don't know where they are.
Maybe what Teresa's talking about is the fact that Buffalo is playing with all the wild draft picks from years gone by.
Well, and all the players that we traded, got from them that went back to them that came back to us. And
I think it's all
back.
Pominville, actually. I think that's why they're winning. It's Pominville.
He's who buried the Wild.
God, that hurts so bad watching that.
I feel
him
dirty
score.
Just saying that, actually. But yeah.
Watching him score hurts so bad. Hearing the name and starting to cheer and go, oh, wait, wrong goal.
Pominville, population 9, right here, right?
Pominville?
Get it?
Ville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The town. Okay. Don't see it sinking in right now.
Wow, another train wreck right there on that. All right.
So why are you guys ending the show?
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Timmy, you're going to say something? Mm,
don't sleep on the nope. Scandi, man.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. He was on fire.
Humongous.
Well, that's another one that kind of hurt. Well,
that one did
way
hurt.
Way to go, Jared Boyd.
That says more about the Wild's depth as a team, you know, and their ability to jettison some of these players and still remain relevant, you know.
Well, you were talking about Dumba before, and he's now leading the NHL defenseman in goals.
Right, yeah.
Not points, but goals. So he's given that offense, at least.
And the Wild need it. The Wild have needed it forever.
And
you know?
Did they changed up the line because the defensive pairing used to be him and Suter, but then he was playing with Brodin last night.
And then
his
best
bud.
Yeah.
And they looked a hell of a lot quicker.
They
swapped. Strange that.
Yeah. I know I was reading, I think Russo had said one of his articles, he was saying something about that Boudreau switched up those lineups he wasn't happy with how the D was playing. I think that was against Chicago.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That he switched it up after.
Well, I actually have a theory about that. I actually think that the move wasn't prompted by Dumba as much as it was prompted by Suter's play. I think the idea was that if Dumba was going to go roving around looking for offensive opportunities, Suter just wasn't quick enough to cover, and so they needed somebody to really cover up for Suter, and so Spurgeon was the option, and that way Brodin was mobile enough to.
Way to go, Jared Boyd!
You know, free range, basically.
Well, I just want to double check. Wasn't Scandella the person we protected, and why we lost Howla?
Yeah.
So
because we knew we had to make a trade,
also knew we needed that partnership on the defensive pairings, and that was more important. And he's proven it.
Yeah. Somehow, I mean, the thing that still, I mean, the one thing with Dumba, though, is we're paying a lot for him at this point now in his career.
Yeah. And he's producing offensively and defensively. Thank you.
He is. How many goals does he have right now?
He's, what 10. Is it, 10?
10? I think 10.
Yeah.
More than a lot of the forwards.
I thought he, had, yeah, I no thought he was over 10 already. I apologize on that. And he's definitely over 20 points.
15. Isn't he the leading goal scorer for defensemen in the league right now?
Yes. Yes.
No, yeah, and that's where I'm going on that. But we were protecting Scandella, and I think when I walked away to grab this piece of paper to catch everybody's drink orders.
what a deer.
We were still on Scandella.
And we love you. We love you, Meat Beast.
Scandella is the one we're protecting, so I love the fact that he actually has made a difference. Dumba, again, like I said, he's finally being the player that
I know.
Side of the table all predicted he was going to be a long time ago.
Frost, we were talking, I keep wanting to say Friday night, but it's Wednesday night.
It was, yeah. The Lost Wednesday. The
holiday weekend.
The Lost Wednesday.
That's the Friday for a holiday weekend.
Talking about, I mean, I still see Dumba as the upcoming Brent Burns or that style of player. That can be that type of goal scorer.
Mm-hmm. But he's not physical like Burns is. That's the difference, though. You know, Burns. He will try to be big. He plays bigger than he is, but he's not Brent Burns as far as the physical nature.
He's a big boy. Use your big boy words.
I don't think Brent Burns is so much physical as he is reckless. I think Brent Burns just kind of throws himself around the ice, and Dumba's a lot more controlled.
That's fair.
Good point.
Not to get into an argument, I probably would have said that when Burns was younger, he was reckless, but now he's tamed it down quite a bit.
Well, your body can only take so much of
but
that.
But I mean, I think it's maturing. You know, I think it's also understanding the game too, and understanding his limits. Because at times, you know, there are times where Burns looked offensively dominant, like he did with the Sharks when he was towards his last few years with the Wild. But then he also had times where you're going like, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. You know, like I used to say that he made little, like, motor sounds like a little kid does, you know, when he was wrong, because that's how it looked at times. And, like, you just wanted a motor around the place.
Like, what's his car? Like, he would be all over the place, you know? He'd skate himself out of position so often.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you know, Dumba was doing that in the years past, too. Mm-hmm. And I think Burns didn't completely mature until a year or two in when he was with San Jose.
I think a lot of that, too, is being offered to stay in the same position instead of being swapped between forward and defense.
I think that did hurt him too.
Yeah, that helped. That hurt his development, I think. And oftentimes with defensemen, you'll see that they don't fully mature in this league, and you don't know what you have in a defenseman until they turn about 26.
Which is, Aaron, we just looked this up. Isn't Dumba right around that age?
Hey, so what, 25?
Yeah. 25, yeah, so this is about what you're going to find out what you have for Dumba for the next, you know, 6-7 years.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is that Dumba is physically, stature-wise, is not the biggest of defensemen out there, but he came in and he sees a Jared Spurgeon, who is a heck of a lot smaller, plays a very calculated, safe game, but is effective. So I think Dumba is able to come in and say, okay, I don't have to be the bruiser that some people want me to be effective.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think you need to be a bruiser to do it. You know, obviously you got to throw your weight around and keep the crease clear for your goaltender at times.
Which is really big when you talk about the Wild, because they don't have that on defense, really. You know, Brodin isn't that player. No. Suter's not that player. No. You know, Spurgeon, he's not big enough to be able to
do
that.
He tries to.
Paterin and Seeler, your third pairing, is probably the closest you have to that.
Yeah,
probably. And that's the rough part, I think, is it makes it hard on our goaltending, is really what it comes down to.
Although, I mean, you know, you're talking about stacking pads. I think it was Suter that stacked pads against
two pad stack. It was great
against Winnipeg last night.
There was kind of an interesting connotation in Russo's article about Paul Martin retiring. Like, Brent Burns gave him so much credit. Like, said we won the Norris together. You know, Paul Martin was willing to cover up for a lot of Burns's shortcomings, stay calm, kind of direct him as needed. I don't think every defenseman can do that with an erratic offensive player.
No, and Burns definitely had some of that going on later on, and I think, you know, Dumba has some of that playing with Suter. You know, Suter's definitely the opposite of erratic.
Yeah,
But that's why you love having Suter and that's why Suter loves playing with Spurgeon. It's because Spurgeon's the exact same way. They're automatic.
But that's tough for getting back defensively. I mean, that's a very offensive line. That's five offensive players you got going on right there. Mm-hmm. You basically lost 2D when you got five guys playing low. I mean,
fair enough. Yeah.
They do have quick enough speed where they can get back. But you know,
hold on. You got me confused here.
That wasn't hard to do.
I was. Because you're talking about, we're talking Suter and Spurgeon together.
No, we're talking Spurgeon and Dumba.
No, I was talking Suter and Spurgeon. Suter loves playing with Spurgeon.
Oh, okay, now I'm confused.
I was talking about Suter and Spurgeon. Suter loves playing with Spurgeon because they're both so automatic. And they play very safe.
Okay, got it. I thought you were talking about Dumba likes playing with Spurgeon because that was kind of
my point, too. I don't think Suter always loves playing with Dumba and what that assignment carries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's extra work.
Yeah. Although, I mean, Suter hasn't been doing too bad as far as points go this season either. You know, he's got his few goals right off the bat and, you know, his assists going on, too. So it's not like he's been suffering because of playing with Dumba either.
Right. Oh, no. I mean,
no, but he's going to score 40, 50 points a season, regardless of who he's
just paired with. Just because of power play.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's going to get a couple, you know,
or a
bunch
kill.
Of assists.
More so the power play. But
yeah, power play is where he's going to get his points, and, you know.
That's typically how that works, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we do have, I don't think we, do we have any shorters this year?
We have one.
Did you see the Coyotes? Don't they have like
10?
Yeah.
10? What?
Yeah,
God.
They're going crazy.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I completely missed that.
What system are they playing?
Fucking spray and pray.
It's Rick, spray and pray.
It's Rick Tesche's Gamblers.
You okay over there, Kenny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Letter, Kenny.
Just squeaking.
Oh, I'd just like to point out that per quanthockey.com, Scandell is not even in the top 50 of defensemen scoring, so we can just put that to bed.
Perfect.
Mic drop.
Not these ones, though.
Yeah.
These Oops. Ones over on this side of the yes. table, yes.
Yeah, those ones will handle it.
They already look like they've been dropped a few times anyway. Sorry.
Who can play so average? The Scandy Man can.
We need to sample that.
We'll have it on the next show.
Oh, great.
Oh, who knows? Maybe we'll have another show at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe. Playoff time. Been done. All right. Anyway, do we want to get into Twitter questions?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Half of them from people here?
Do we have a sample?
Do we have a sample? Sure.
There we go. All right. First question from Mr. Crease and Assist.
Ooh, Derek. Would you like to ask it?
I can't see it.
You don't remember what you asked?
Jeez.
I asked like five things. Like I do just about every show.
First question. Three NHL coaches have been given the axe as Mike Yeo is fired in St. Louis. What was your favorite Mike Yeo memory in St. Louis? Do you think he'll be an NHL HUD coach in the future, or is he a lame duck? You know, I'm going to open it up to... I'll actually open up to Derek. I'll let you answer your own question. I like this.
Oh, let's see what you think, smart guy.
Try to stump me.
I guess my best memory of Mike Yeo in St. Louis is kind of the last time we played them in St. Louis, seeing him just sit there on the bench frustrated that his team was going to lose to us yet again. I don't know. I guess I enjoyed watching him upset.
See, I think
was he sipping his water?
Yeah, sipping angrily,
frantically sipping his water,
pulling out eyebrows, disappearing.
Man has a condition. Leave him alone.
Anybody else think that the Gophers head coach looks like a fat version of Mike Yeo?
That's pretty good.
I noticed that last night.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Also, the Gophers game, they're playing Michigan State,
yep.
MSU, and they and
the it was, color was off.
It was so confusing because I'm like MSU, that's Mankato State.
Mm.
Is Fox Sports like losing it? I mean,
because the chevron was green for MSU.
Yes, but
the uniforms look black.
Yeah, they're
well
yeah.
that and
they're very dark.
Use yeah. Mich. Deet.
I don't know how the game ended up, but at one point last night, that game, there was... Oh, was it really?
Yeah, Jesus.
At one point, there was 4 goals on 6 shots. And yep. I was like, what is happening right now?
It was a fun game to watch. I mean, I'm still
here. As long as you were a Gophers fan.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think everyone here at least is partial.
I'm a Bulldogs fan. So that's...
But you at least... Okay, so maybe you wanted the...
I prefer when the Gophers lose.
I get that.
I know some people from St. Cloud State that would say the same thing.
Which yeah. is fair. Or the real MSU.
Don't get me wrong. If the Bulldogs are out of it, I'm rooting for the Gophers. I don't really, you know.
At least you're honest.
Right, yeah.
You know. Not Michigan State.
No. I mean, fuck those guys.
Gross. back to Mike Yeo.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. You know, I think as far as whether he'll coach again, I think his record is good enough where someone's going to take a flyer on him and try to make him a coach. I think he's got the ability. I don't think his St. Louis team is very, very good, though.
He's got Vladimir Tarasenko.
That's one guy.
And he's
who
not
hasn't been scoring.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean... Last year, there was articles like with Backus and some of the people about problems in the locker room again. He's not good at managing his locker room.
The people.
And
he's not.
The very same issue that we had with our locker room was happening in St. Louis. And so you saw people like Stastny and Backus going.
You know, the veterans.
They're taking off.
Yeah.
Get us up. Didn't want to be there. Trade me right fucking now kind of thing.
Right. No, and that's kind of the point I was going towards is, like, I don't think he's really good at managing people. Like, you look at the way, like, remember when he blew up in practice and, like, he got maybe, like, one or two wins out of it, like, in the immediate aftermath, and then the team just went to shit again?
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to properly motivate, like, long term. He does, like, this weird sort of angry blow-up thing, you know?
But it's at the same point, Quenneville bounced around through a couple teams before he landed in Chicago, and we saw what happened there.
I can't believe Chicago let Quenneville go.
No, that's bananas to me, but, you know.
I mean, someone's, like, isn't St. Louis on the phone with Quenneville right now?
Probably. Right. They ought to be.
I would think so.
I mean,
they'd be ridiculous not to at least have talked with him or talked to, I'm guessing he probably still has, like, an agent or somebody that is going through with him.
And Quenneville's smart, though. He's taking some time off. I'm having some vacation. I'm still getting paid.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. $6 million.
Where do you want to travel this year, dear?
Wow. Yeah, you're right. He would be taking some time off. Like, you know what? Screw you guys. Screw the NHL. I'm traveling.
Let's see here. Could I travel to Winnipeg in January, or could I, like, go somewhere nice?
What are you saying just about anywhere. Winnipeg?
What are you saying about Winnipeg?
I would say anywhere north of the Mason-Dixon after January 1st is not a good place to be, you know?
I would venture to guess that, you know, after two failed head coaching gigs, Yo probably has to go back in that purgatory of being like an assistant coach
for a couple of years.
He'll catch on. I think his record is good enough.
I mean, he's got a winning record.
Yeah, he'll catch on somewhere, and I think he'll get another head gig.
Because he was, what, 2 years up here? Two and change up here, and then two and change down in St. Louis?
Yeah. Then he had that year of not quite the heir apparent. He was the heir apparent coach.
Under Hitchcock.
Yeah, which was pretty weird.
Yeah.
And how about Hitchcock back in Edmonton?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Right?
Well, I think the argument in Edmonton is the fact that they felt that team needed defensive structure, and he's known as a defensive structure guy. Now,
sure, I guess.
The problem is, of course, his shelf life is 3 years.
I mean, yeah, he's like 100 years old. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Quenneville's up there, too. I mean, Quenneville is not a young guy.
Is Hitchcock going to give Connor McDavid the Modano treatment? Like,
you turn him into a two-way center?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, let's be honest. Boudreaux is an old guy, too. I mean, basically, there's a lot of coaches out there that are, like, they're probably on their last years.
Well, I mean, like that. Whoops, sorry. That's what I mean. Like, that was what Fletcher was trying to do. He was trying to move away from those old guys, you know, with the Todd Richards hiring and the Mike Yeo, and then eventually he was just like, "Fuck it, Boudreaux, man. Here's a guy with a proven track record. You know, we failed twice trying to hire Young out of the AHL and
move those guys up. I mean, yeah, you're right. Moving him up, Young, he will be around, and I think he will be a staple in the NHL for years to come. But I don't know which one of us nine or other eight said it about maybe going down to Tim said it about moving down to an assistant coach for a while just to under maybe get some better tutelage, you know, people management skills.
Two quick seconds.
Torchetti.
There was a miss open on a Negro Modelo when I went to grab everybody's drinks. Did anybody want it?
Somebody will drink it.
Yes.
Yeah.
At this table?
It'll be the communal beer when we run out for the second time.
And where the hell are these five mookas going?
At least four on this side.
Somebody said five mookas.
Oh, no, that was an S behind it. As in, like, buka or bukas.
You fucking twat. Also, we will have to separate all this onto different tabs.
That's fine.
Start one that just says GITB.
That's totally fine. We were expecting this much.
So, where are we going with five of these, son?
I'll take one.
Does anybody on that side of the table not want a buka? That'd be the easier question.
Okay, so...
Look, there are several irredeemable liquors for which there is no good use for them, and buka is
not
one for of net. Them.
Long distance Fernet?
Which we've drank on the show.
Yeah, Fernet.
Yeah.
Or Malort.
Malort?
Malort is
worse. Have you guys done Malort on the show?
Yes, we have.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Way back when
that was a mistake.
God damn it. Tastes like Band-Aid smell.
Somebody came back from Chicago with some of that.
Or like it was a John Hodgman. It tastes like pencil shavings and despair. I think that's what his quote is.
Hey, Drive, you that's got Malort.
Not Sambuca. Sambuca's
what's
great.
That?
Do you have a coin with you?
No.
God damn it.
Who's you got a coin?
Flip a coin.
So are you saying that it tastes like the Los Angeles Kings?
You have it.
They're another team that has lost their head coach.
And they're still horrible.
Yeah. Not good.
Oh, by the way, is Hitchcock just a stopgap for this year? No. Like, he's just here for, like, the next 4 or 5 months, and then he's done?
That's kind of what I was thinking, because you're talking about is Quenneville going to be lined up with St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
But you look at who they pulled in. They pulled in Craig Berube, and he's got a good record. I mean, he went to the playoffs with Philadelphia. You know, do they want to go with him for a while and see how he does? And then, you know, Coach Q will be available, and I can see Coach Q ending up at Edmonton.
Really?
I really could.
I don't know. I think Key would actually enjoy Edmonton because they have a lot of budding superstars. Mm-hmm. Sort of like when he went to Chicago, like Kane and Taze were right on the edge.
Exactly.
You know, when he kind of pushed them over.
Yep. Yeah. And that's really smart. They've been building for a while. So.
Yeah, but they don't have any defensemen. I mean that.
What about Darnell Nurse?
At least in Chicago, they had Donkey Teeth and.
And they got Soup. They got Soupy.
Alphabet Soup. Jarmelson.
No, I was talking about.
That's a good one.
I was talking about fucking Brian Campbell.
that Soup. I thought you were talking about Alphabet Soup.
Nice.
Nicholas Soupy Jarmelson.
That's right. Stretch.
And they, what are they? And they traded us Cam Barker for Nick Leddy. I mean, you know, they had all kinds of good stuff going on in Chicago.
Yeah, they don't have that in Edmonton right now.
No, they really don't.
I got the sense that. The big brass in Edmonton maybe pulled this move, like, you know, not Chiarelli. Like, I think Gretzky's still involved there. There's a lot of Team Canada people there, and Hitchcock's been, like, a good soldier. I got the sense they were bringing him in for the year to kind of sort some stuff out, and they'll take it from there.
God, I just hate that fat fuck. I'm sorry.
All right, our second question.
He's going to go into tomorrow.
From Mr. Derek Falska. is a Golden Gophers men's hockey team slow start proving it wasn't a Don Lucia problem? Too many kids from Edina on the team, perhaps? Or is it too soon to say anything yet?
Well, Lucia...
Hashtag cake eaters.
And
yes.
Me and Kenny were actually talking about this last night. Lucia won... basically with Woog's teams. Mm-hmm. So
they brought in Vanek.
Yeah. It all goes back to Vanek.
What happened to our Vanek bobblehead?
Tell me more about Buffalo.
do you remember the stick that is the cup for the Fantasy Hockey League you play
in?
Yes.
Yep. But that was Woog's team, even though Lucia was helming it at the time.
I want to say that's actually the last time Woog won.
Does it?
It's the last time the Gophers took it. But nice. I thought that was Woog era.
Woog never won one.
Okay, so, yeah, it was Lucia's then. Never mind.
Lucia won two in a
but
row.
But it was Woog's team.
But it was Woog's team, yeah. Right, yeah. It was Hendrickson and not
Lucia
Darby.
Lucia skated
the other.
For 15 years off of those two wins.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, I guess you can make the argument Quenneville did the same in Chicago, right?
in Lucia's defense, he did get back to the national title in, 2014?
True.
So
true.
Fair
enough.
And
he lost.
Had some other Frozen Fours there, so it wasn't like it was complete, you know, nether zone of
right.
success.
It's the Gophers. I mean,
but I mean, like, yeah, the Gophers are expected to be there.
Right.
Every year.
Yes.
Or a Minnesota team.
True.
Yeah, at least the Gophers should be there on a regular basis every few years.
Based on the recruiting.
Sounds like you guys are Minnesota fans and have your expectations too high.
Okay, and since I haven't been paying attention to college, are they back in the WCHA or are they still in the Big Ten?
They're still in the Big Ten.
After being thrown into the goddamn Big Ten.
Being in the Big Ten does not help them at all because that is a lesser competition. Lesser competition, easy for me to say, than the Big Ten.
Yeah, especially this year, we'd be better served. The Gophers would be better served playing, intra Minnesota teams because they're all really good.
Yeah, the WCHA, I mean, there was a reason why it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it was the best conference in college hockey.
There's a reason we actually paid attention to any Wisconsin players. Because of the WCHA.
And you knew in what time the games are going to be played.
Amen.
And on what channel?
Oh, yes. Sunday at 2 o'clock on Big Ten Network? Okay.
Yeah, for fuck's sakes. Yeah, I ain't paying attention
to
that.
That works great during football season, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Hey, hand egg season. When did we stop calling it hand egg?
Oh, good point.
Since someone's getting paid by the NFL, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now we know why we don't call it hand egg on the show.
It's by proxy.
Our next question comes from Roger Grigal.
Actually, no, it doesn't. It comes from
Derek Phelps.
Derek Phelps.
That jackass. Total jackass.
Hey, three in the box.
We just copied and pasted the order they came in.
While the hiring of Ken Hitchcock finally, will the hiring of Ken Hitchcock finally get the Oilers to play to their potential, or of all of? I'm sorry. See, you should read your own questions. See, because here I am now. I'm just butchering.
Didn't we already talk about this though?
Yeah, I think that this kind of got tied in with the first question.
Did you guys copy me on the Google thing or no?
Jive, share that with Josh, would you?
Yeah, if you share it with me, I'll be able to read that for him.
You should do a control plus so the text is nice and big so you can read it.
I'm old, so it needs to be big text.
Well, you got these things hanging on your shirt.
In my defense of my own question, the coaching changes happen pretty fast.
Put on your glasses, dude.
Stop it.
Okay, getting back to your own question.
Yeah.
Sorry. Since you wanted to make it a little more known for us.
Basically, he wants to know how long will Hitchcock last in Edmonton.
Well, I think the bigger line is, okay, I'll just read it for you, Jeff, because you having
thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can't even find the control plus key.
Will the hiring of Ken Hitchcock finally get the Oilers to play to the potential of all?
Are you sure you want to read it?
I don't know that I do. Will the hiring of Ken Hitchcock finally get?
Can
the
we go
Oilers
to the source, Derek? What was your
we
question?
Got the source right there.
Do you want to read it? You want to read it, smart ass?
I don't have access
to it.
You want to
read it, smart
ass?
Can the Oilers live up to the potential they have?
I think the Oilers are
the
finally.
The pause is palpable.
I think the Oilers are finally getting to the point where they can do everything that they've been rebuilding for. And all the stats that looks like they should have been able to play, I think he's actually finally able to help gel that, in my opinion.
Are they in the playoff picture right now?
Probably not.
I think they're
but
not quite
they're going to squeak
on
in.
The cusp.
They're going to squeak in, and I think they'll actually go too deep, at least in the playoffs.
I think it helps they're in
personally.
The Pacific.
Entirely helps that they are.
As opposed to the Central.
Now I got to figure out how to be able to see the notes that they just shared with me. But I will stand by what I just said.
Don't
I do believe that that's actually
right now Edmonton's 4 points out of the last wild card spot.
And
I think
so
what's the stat? Someone there's a stat that like we routinely get like, and I don't remember if it's based off of Thanksgiving or Christmas, but it's basically the eight teams that are in the playoffs at around Christmas are the eight teams that are making the playoffs.
Well, except for when the Wild are winning the Presidential Cup at the beginning of December.
Well, that's the one thing about this team, no matter the coach, like post-Lemaire, like Todd Richards, Mike Yeo, even with
Boudreaux
these first couple years, like there's portions of the year where they look absolutely unstoppable, like their latest where they went like 12-2 or whatever it was in that last bit. And then they go like a month or 6 weeks where they can't win a game, even games they should win, you know, and it totally sets them back.
You know what? Last year I think might have been a different story because last year we didn't really see the major slumps that they've had in previous years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there wasn't any major swoon. It was just sort of a general malaise all year.
The swoon seemed to be ascribed to Yeo. I don't think Boudreaux has ever like experienced like an extended.
No, he really hasn't.
Yeah,
no, because it was.
He writes a shift after like two or three games.
Previous to Boudreaux, it was always the December slump.
Yeah.
December, January slump is always that time right in there where all of a sudden it's like They would win one out of four games.
Well, yeah, well, they did it in March 1 year, too, which was weird.
Yeah. But yeah, really, the one time you should be, like, playing your best hockey. Yeah.
Well, and one of those was one of those slumps cost him his job. I mean, and that's why we had Torchetti for.
And a couple of sticks couple as well, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the exact blow up I'm talking about. Like, you know, that sort of shit is unsustainable.
Well, I mean, as a people manager, you can't be just losing your shit and expecting everyone to be like, oh, he's lost his shit. We better do a better job. Yeah. You know,
he might hit us with that stick next.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like your parents. You're supposed to be like scared of them. Like you're gonna get a whooping if you don't.
Except you're dealing with goddamn adults. Respond to that. You know,
are they really adults? I mean, some of them are just kids,
man-child. Yeah. But like, I don't know. A lot of them are just like looking at them and they're like, oh, this fucking guy's got no hair. What do I got to listen to him for?
Shut up, Pierre.
Shut up, Pierre.
We can go back to the millennial conversation.
Well, I mean, then you look at the Chicago's new
coach. Millennials are up to 38. That's basically the playing age of the NHL right now is all millennials.
Chicago's new coach is 33.
Shit, you're kidding me, right?
No.
Yeah, Jeremy Cola time.
33 years old.
I'm all for the youth in coaching. I mean, why not bring in new ideas?
Just hey, you know what? I want to go back to the coach player. Give me some
dumbass.
Give me the player coach. Reg Dunlop.
Give me some Reggie Dunlop, man. Dude, just he'll piss himself. Hit him. Check him into the boards.
They brought their fucking toys.
Your wife eats pussy.
And on that note, Kenny, next question for you.
Oh, God.
For fuck's sakes.
From Crease and Assist.
No, actually, it's not. It's from his better half. From Minnesota 24, Miss Teresa Ferris. In the box. Which Wild player is most like Fenton the dog?
Fenton!
Hashtag Jesus Christ, Fenton.
Fenton!
Who do we need to keep yelling at most often?
I've got no dog in this race right now.
I mean, we haven't had a Brodziak for a while. We haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no real goat.
I mean, like,
there?
isn't it Nino now? Isn't that Nino everyone's picking?
Well,
right now?
Nino just got a goal last night.
Well, Nino set up the first three goals, if I remember correctly, last night.
No, but I'm just thinking like people are fairly angsty about his production.
I think
so
based
far
on their pedigree, like Nino and Coyle will draw.
No, you know what? And also,
Eck, Coyle,
Eck seems to be getting. G seems to be getting a lot of hate for being a young kid and not producing.
When I was kind of thinking of this question, I wasn't so much like the player you hate. It's just that player you're like, what the hell are you doing? Because they have those great moments, and then it's like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? And for me, it's Dumba.
See, I would say Stalock. But Dumba's Stalock playing the puck, and I go, what are you doing, Stalock? Get in the net. I mean, what are you?
He's playing the puck.
Go back to your home.
That's a bonus from him.
Stalock and Dumba cheat on offense, you know?
If you watch the video of Fenton the dog, he is doing what comes naturally to him.
Oh, yeah.
Chasing wildlife.
Yeah. So, I tried to tell my wife that.
So
Dumba is naturally doing what we want him to do. But when he does have those complete brain farts, you're like, what the hell are you doing? You know?
Oh, I thought
so
it was just.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Okay. All right. So it's a guy you like, it's just occasionally like a what the shit is going on here.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Because I was thinking, I'll still stand behind my statement of Coyle.
I second you on that. He's been fucking pulling my hair out ever since he started playing with us.
Yeah,
he's
like,
so talented.
So well, and then,
he's
and then
big. He's got great hands, and he can move.
Drop your fucking
problem?
Shoulder and move into.
And then he just
every year.
The bed
I'm saying the same thing.
So
it's like
times.
I'm hanging out with my kids.
The other one I'll say, the
clean
other
your
name
fucking
I'll throw
room.
Out there, of course, is Zucker. He'll hit that low, and then all of a sudden he'll just blow up and be on fire and just be a beast. Dude. And he'll own whatever line he gets thrown on after shit in the bed for about a month and a half. And going, I'm not taking a healthy scratch for fucking up. And he will be a beast on the ice. So I'll say Zucker and Coyle.
You're right with Zucker.
I'm going to disagree with Zucker.
You're right with Coyle. I don't agree with Zucker. Zucker's pretty.
Zucker, I think his hands of stone have finally got away, and I think he's finally got. I think his hands finally caught up to his feet.
Also, there's no fucking way you're going to fucking put in the up to watch a game a 30 goal scorer. That doesn't happen anymore.
True.
Unless you're Mike Yo, you scratch him.
but there were plenty of times where he hit a low and not
doing it. I still swear Hollow was banging Mike Yo's wife.
Favorite theory ever.
Actually, there's no way to hear more about this theory.
There's no way Hollow should have been scratched and benched as much as he was.
He saw the poke thrust by Hollow.
I still swear by the fact that Hollow hasn't been banging Yo's wife. That's the only reason the guy of his talent could have been benched so much.
And I bet you it was Skula was banging Lemaire's wife, and that's why Lemaire kept playing him.
That could very well be.
Oh man.
We just lost
old
our
school.
We
just lost our PG-13 rating.
I said fuck way too many times for it to be PG-13. I apologize.
This episode TVMA.
I didn't realize we were going in F-free zone. Someone should have said something before we started.
I screwed up. I let in with a few F-bombs in the introduction.
No. We're going back to our old school. Have you listened to episode
old school
one lately?
Hockey. Like Gordo. Come on!
All right. Next question comes in from JBushy19.
Oh, man. A guy who's not here to defend himself.
No. Holy
what do the Minnesota Wild do to get more consistency with him going forward? And this is in reference to Nino having a good game, but the consistency hasn't quite been there.
Put him on the fourth line.
Apparently, yeah, that's what worked.
I believe this question came in before that.
Yeah, healthy scratch for him for one game, but he already redeemed himself before he got to that point. Yeah.
To quote Ned Braden, trade him right fucking now.
I like Nino, though.
Yeah, you know, I still like Nino, and I think actually it was just putting him in positions to succeed. And that's not to say he hasn't been in them all season, being on the line he's been on. Yeah. But I think putting him with workers where he's maybe like the focus of that line.
Yeah, I'm having the awareness he had last night, however. I think maybe we need to give his water bottle a bunch of Emils real quick to crack under his nose.
He's got some amyl nitrate.
Like, he was like ready for
Nino's own poppers.
Like last night it looked like he was on the smelling salts. So maybe he needs a water bottle full of smelling salts.
Was that a glitch in the matrix? Or did you just say the same thing twice?
Benton!
Next question. Aaron.
Oh, is it me? All
yeah, right. It's you.
So organized.
I know. It's like we're professional or something.
It's like we've done this once or 160 other nine times before.
Next question from @FanOnIt. Who is the toughest guy in the Minnesota Wild? Who is the toughest guy in Minnesota Wild? Lenarkenny? I don't know.
Hashtag Lenarkenny.
That question doesn't make actually...
Like currently?
Who's their toughest player? Guy?
Who's the toughest Wild player, I guess? Yes.
Sealer?
Foligno?
Foligno? Greenway's not a bad answer. Maybe.
I'm going with Sealer.
Yeah, I would agree with Felska, I think. I mean, Sealer's he's a baller.
Hashtag Felska knows.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Because that dude is, he's not afraid to bump and grind a little bit.
Bump and grind.
I think it has a completely different connotation than what you're
ain't
using.
Nothing wrong
with a little bump and grind.
Yeah, but do you mean like who goes out there and plays the hide man like straight out the gate, or because that would be to me that would be Foligno.
Yeah, I mean,
right? However, someone else who's like. Maybe you don't see it, but who's not willing to, not afraid to stand up, and then I would have to, I'd lean towards Sealer.
All right.
I'm going to throw one out, and what about Zucker? He's not a strong guy, don't get me wrong.
Where's my rim shot?
He's not going to fight, but he is not, he doesn't back down. He'll get crusty,
Yeah, I think in that Jets game, I think he slashed someone in the back of the leg.
Like, Truba. He smacked Truba in the back of the leg.
Yeah. Taking notes from Dubnik.
All goalies.
We don't have someone down in Iowa that's like the traditional goon anymore, do we?
Yes, we do. We got Mike Liambus.
Oh, that's right.
If you ever saw, you can look it up on YouTube when he literally almost killed a kid with a hit one time. Literally. Like, he took like a full-on run, like maybe 50 feet and killed the kid in the back of the horse. Wow. He almost got banned out of the OHL for it.
I mean, like took a, like a charge sort of thing?
Yeah.
Or? Oh, shit.
It's pretty brutal.
I mean, like, I think that lends it, like, the larger question, like, is the goon on its way out?
I think it has been for a while.
Yeah,
that's no fun, though.
JT Brown wrecked cop.
Yeah, he did.
But I think that was unfortunate because he went into the side of the glass.
And even that, I don't even know if he went into the side. I mean, you look at some of it, I think... Had that corner not been there, I think his head still kind of hit funky, but I don't think that's not on JT Brown, though.
I think that was just how the kid was moving and just the position that he was in regards to where the boards were.
We were watching the game, and there was one spot I was like, Aaron, dude, was that blood that I saw spray? And all of a sudden, before they go play, you see the skaters out there scraping up the ice. With the rest
pink
of the,
ice?
Yep, apparently it was.
Yeah, I think cop is kind of
pink
right.
ice.
Pink eyes. Okay. So our next question comes from...
Just say it.
Chris and assist.
Cheers.
We put these in order. So don't worry. There's a ton that's not you, Derek. I promise.
Oh, good.
Like two others.
No, actually, I think this might be your last one that's on here.
Well, it's because it's every time, hey, if you got a question... For three in the box, you know, leave it here and tag it, and then he asks a question.
Oh, shit. That's exactly what this one is. We didn't filter these out.
Does anybody out there have a question for three in the box?
That's actually exactly what this one is. That was thank you, Derek, for the sending it up.
And my answer to that question is, Derek, thank you very much for your support of us.
Absolutely.
For spreading that word all the time. Man.
Woo! I
mean, yeah.
Yes.
Woo! Getting money out of that paid sponsorship.
Yeah.
So, that, Jive, that goes on to you.
Oh, look at that. Who's up next? We got T-Hane 88. I think we're looking at a T-Hane 88 lightning round.
Oh, lightning.
Yeah.
Is that the grapefruit?
All right. First question from T-Hane 88. Why should Minnesota Wild fans think this coming April will be different from the previous few?
We haven't seen December yet, so I don't know if they should think about that.
It is still early.
It's like he knew that this was the last show, and he's like, let's ask about, you know, the...
April.
Yeah.
Let's ask about April.
Is he really from Minnesota? I mean...
He is. T-Hane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you have to wonder, is he that delusional? I mean, I'm going to wait to see it.
We'll be there.
No. Well, we may be there, but for maybe four or five games...
And I gotta side with T-Hane here, man. I'm actually thinking that the Wild are gonna have something to scrap together here. When you look at the way that things are right now, we're getting production from pretty much all of the lines. You know, everybody is, you know, pitching in. We've got solid goaltending front and back. I mean. I just think that maybe it is me being a Minnesotan. You can probably tell I'm from here that I got hope.
You know the one thing.
But I think that we can expect something different. So we can at least go two rounds.
Jive. The one thing that we don't have yet, injuries.
We don't.
We haven't.
Why did you fucking knock on wood, man? What the shit are you doing over there?
We haven't had to deal with it, so we don't know how that's going
to
happen.
Well, way to go, okay. Kenny. You ruined the season.
Hey, right, jinxes aren't right real. There. LaPanta agrees with me. Jinxes are not real.
If that's who you have agreeing with you, fucking pick at someone different. That's
way to go, Jared boy.
I'm just saying, like, this is a team, this is the Wild team for the last, I don't know, five, six postseasons, does not know how to find that next playoff gear. They showed it, like, what was it, the one time they got the second round against St. Louis?
No, Chicago.
Chicago.
Colorado once.
I'm just saying, like, this is a team that doesn't seem to, like, know that once the playoffs start, that it's a new gear.
Well, no, it's like, hey, we keep losing the first round. Let's get Bruce Boudreau, because he'll get us to the promised land.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think, like, last year, you know, Suter broke his ankle and Parisi was out, like, the last couple games. And
that didn't help.
No. And I think, you know, help, but they didn't look like they had a lot of life before that. You basically return the same team with a little more depth. And, you know, when do they figure it out?
There's a lot to be said about that depth, though. Because coming down the stretch, number one, when you're looking at that and you don't have to have the time on ice for all these players. That's less time. That's less chance to, you know, come across some sort of a fluke injury or anything like that. If you can get, you know, production from – at this point, we're looking at all four lines almost, really, that are, you know, producing. We've got
– And all three defensive
and
lines.
And we've got three solid defensive pairings that, yeah.
Okay, like, what's the time on ice breakdown? Yeah,
I think Suter's ice time is down this year a little bit, though. So I think we could say that. That's you know, so hopefully we don't have a broken ankle going into the playoffs. Maybe.
All right. On that note.
Downer.
Yeah, lightning round. Here we go.
Next question from D. Hain. How critical is it, in your opinion, the Minnesota Wild secure home ice in the opening round of the playoffs?
Wow. Playoffs?
He is really looking ahead. I have to agree.
Nostra Hain here.
Nostra Hain. He better change his name now.
Nostra Hamus.
If he doesn't change his name, I'm going to be really disappointed. Because that's way better than T. Hain 88. Nostra Hainus.
Nostra Hainus. Is that like the is that like Dumbo wearing 55 again?
Exactly.
Not Hain ass. Heinous, like a heinous.
Like
yeah,
an no,
I, yeah, yeah, I got it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
everybody
anus.
Figured it out. You're the only one who went the other way with it.
Yeah, that's just that guy down there.
That's what she said.
Thanks for mansplaining
that's
it
the
for
guy
us.
At that butt end of the table.
So
home ice important? I mean, like for the first round or for, like, because they're not going to have it through the playoffs.
Well,
they'll probably have it in the first round against the Jets.
It hasn't helped them when they've had it.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I don't know how important home ice really is. Honestly, basically, either way you look at it, somebody's got to go in and sneak one away from somebody at home, right? So,
well, I mean, statistically speaking, home ice is actually good normally.
Yes.
Yeah. I think in hockey it's like 55% of the home teams win.
55%, just a little over half.
Yeah, no, but I mean that's significant, though. You know,
I would say on a different level, having home ice advantage means that you're doing better. You're going to get a better seed, so you're going to be playing a lesser opponent most likely.
True.
So from that basic level, it's probably advantageous to have home ice advantage, just from that alone.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess the other part is, you know, if you're playing that well, you'd have to think it probably comes with some level of confidence that you're probably pretty good at home. You feel, you know, because if you're probably not gonna get a good seed if you're not successful at home.
So how much so if the Wild were able to win at home, how much of that is attributable to crowd chant?
Fuck Joe Satriani.
Amen to that.
They should have gone.
Why would
with
you ever
whistle?
Got rid of Prince? That's the worst.
Because white people can't clap to it, I think.
they had three episodes ago, you had a whole thing about white people clapping songs when they're allowed to play.
Yes.
The script is obvious. We bring in the Satch for the playoff run.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Next one. Lightning round.
All right. Lightning round. All right. Yes or no questions, boys. All right, boys and girls.
No. Just a T. Hain lightning round. Doesn't have to be yes or no.
Well, this is actually a yes or no question.
Okay.
So will Dumba be a Norris finalist before his 27th birthday? Teresa.
Yes.
Derek.
No.
Tim.
Yes.
Frost.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Jive.
Well,
combo breaker.
Just so it can't be a yes or no question. I mean, we're looking at Dumba. I mean,
it is a yes or no question.
He's definitely making a turnaround this year. So, like,
you feel mine and Aaron's pain every episode now.
I feel that he.
You wonder why we're quitting.
I thought you were quitting because he rarely ever showed up on time.
Hey, hold on. How did this become all about me?
Since you said something other than yes or
I'm
no.
I'm just trying to answer the man's question. So will Dumba be a finalist, a Norris finalist, before his 27th birthday? I'm thinking that he looks pretty good this year, and I think he's overcoming a lot of his rookie, you know, kind of mistakes that he's made. I mean, he's had a bad game here or a bad game there, but he's definitely been a lot more solid than in past years. So I'm going to say yes.
She can edit that whole thing out. Yes.
Short answer, yes.
Yes. I think yes is win this one.
Long answer, yes with an if.
And
it's hard to look at this year and it's hard to look at this year and not think he's going to be a nominee this year. I think that's the hardest part is, you know, Norris Trophy is rewarded by offensive play and he's been really good. So it's hard to think he won't be in the running.
Is he going to be a 2060 defenseman though? Like not 20 goals, 60 points?
Not the way his assists are going this year.
Right.
The assists are still on the downside. I think that will come.
But, I mean, like, can you get in there with just 20 goals?
You can
goals?
Only
like,
assist if the players you pass it to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
You know? They got to stop depending on him to put the puck in the net, and they put the puck
in the net. Well, he probably needs a more predominant role on the power play as well, though. Yeah. I think that doesn't help him. And
is he on the first unit?
Yes.
Unit.
Welcome back.
Hello.
I haven't been gone. I've just been quiet.
I think part of that though is have they been rolling four forwards with Suter again, or have they been running Suter with more of an offensive defense?
They've been having a couple defensive men back up there.
Yeah, I think they've had two defensemen. Because normally it's Spurgeon and Dumba.
When you got two offensive, defensive men on the power play at that point.
All right, next question in the T. Hain 88 lightning round. Is Minnesota Wild Brass instructing Greenway to emulate Coyle or Coyle's game or Nino's game?
I think he's got to play his own game.
I can't imagine that they're telling them to him to play either person's game.
Yes, please avoid their games.
Absolutely, at this point.
Be consistent.
Yes, don't play those games with us.
The short answer for Jive, the short answer for that one is no.
No.
I'm going to agree with the no. I've just seen Greenway play his own game out of what I've gotten to see so far.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say no, but I think he... Like Nino, like Coyle, he needs to step up the physical side where Coyle and Nino a little bit. Coyle is, like, absent. I mean, for a guy of that size to be, like, just not there physically.
Not to, you know, well, I mean, physically, but, I mean, like, the last couple games, he's put, like, six shots on net each game. I mean, like, he's activating. He just hasn't been rewarded for it, I guess, recently.
But he's got the body where he could be doing Parisi work.
Yeah, he should be down in front of the net.
Grinding.
Dirting goals. Yeah.
We're still talking Greenway, right?
Yes.
We're talking about Coyle and Coyle's game.
Yes. We diverged to Coyle. Yeah, yeah.
But Greenway, unless I'm mistaken, didn't he tag one of the ones on Chicago?
I can't remember exactly.
What, three games ago?
No.
That was gone in the distant mist of time.
There's been a lot of beer since then.
Three games,
You know, we've had two Fridays so far this week.
Like, first of all, we had a hard time talking about the two games we had this week. You know, fuck the Chicago game.
Point. I'm just pissed that it's not Wesley Snipes Dark.
And to the physical point, I think that Greenway already has been... he's gotten himself in there, and I think that he's still a young buck, really. And you know, he's going to put on a few pounds probably as he, you know, moves on in his professional career. And I'm hoping that, you know, that means he starts moving some walls and stuff too.
Wasn't it that Torrey Hunter with the twins said, like, there's a second maturation at like 25, 26 where you put on your man muscles? Like, Greenway still has to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's young. I mean,
I'm excited for what's going to come out of that. So,
John's looking forward to the man muscle.
Where's the man foam sample?
I have no idea where it is.
We're just saying that gave me a semi.
And Justin, I just want to thank you for catching the joke I threw out there.
All right, moving on.
Yep.
From T. Hain, aside from
Kirill Kaprizov.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering, because there's...
Did you read these beforehand?
I just did a little Googling.
Oh, did you?
Nope.
Well, it could be Kapanen.
Kasperi Kapanen?
Yeah, which is also KK.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but Kapanen's in the... If you read the rest of the question...
Well, okay.
What my KKK
do? Who's running this show over here?
But aside from KK, which
the inmates have taken over.
Aside from KK, who is the most valuable player in the Minnesota Wild organization? And I think
Kaprizov, organization or minors?
It says organization, and Kaprizov is not in our organization. So, anyway,
he's not.
Still in the KHL.
I mean, I'm like, technically he's in the system because we have his rights, but
right.
But that's only if he decides to defect.
It's not technically defecting.
Yeah, it's not 1983 anymore.
Did he come over here for some baseball? Or to stay?
Ballet.
Ballet. I've been watching a lot of the Americans lately, getting caught up on the final season.
And I've heard a lot about the Russian ballet, too, so.
I bet you have.
Yeah.
Where's that slurping one again? Do that again.
Which one? This one? Oh.
Look, it's running just as smooth as always.
Going on.
That one.
Okay, so all right. So the question is, who's the most valuable player in the organization?
Who's not currently with the big club?
Who's not with the big club?
Yep.
Okay.
Ooh.
And that's why I go Kapanen, because everybody's like under a goal.
Yeah, 0.99 goals against average.
Yeah,
but he didn't start the season even as the starter. I mean, like, he's just turned
it
on.
Yeah, because...
proving the point.
Hamburglar. Yeah.
Injured.
Yeah, he's injured. So, like, that's why he's playing. And I mean, like, he's been very solid in relief. But I mean, like, God, I don't know. Like, Kunin? Is Kunin the other option?
Kunin.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's how fucking bare this chest
but here's
is.
The thing. Yeah. Kunin's not being given carte blanche like Granlund was. He's being made to earn his time, which, thank God, because we've had too many players in this team's history where, ooh, you were a high draft pick. Okay, you can call your own shots and play whenever you want.
Look at G.
Yeah. I mean, I still think Granlund was with the Wild way too early.
Well, he was, but he actually made it. You know, he's not like a Colton Gillies or a James Shepard, you know, who washed out.
I feel like he played well enough in setting up plays that he earned.
Not only
spot,
that, but Kunin had a cup of coffee at the end of last year, right? And he didn't do terrible.
Yeah, but he's not there yet, and he needs to stay down there and earn his time.
I don't disagree.
I don't necessarily disagree. I will say that I felt like he did more than you give him credit for.
That's the other thing too. Like, if you call up Kunin, who do you sit? I'm like, the team's going really well right now, and like we've talked about, you're getting contributions from all four lines. So if you bring up Kunin, like, he's not going to get the time he's going to get in the AHL. So sit him down there. Get a lot of time. Get time in important situations.
Yep. Well, that's what Tom Kerver said. You know, Russo interviewed him, I think, last week in a Q&A, and Kerver said, no, we're not in any hurry to bring him up because he's got to show he can dominate down there before he deserves – really a call up right now. There's other guys right now in Iowa that are playing better than Kunin. You know, Mason Shaw, another rookie, he is playing better than Kunin right now. Some of the veteran guys like Kyle Rau, Cal Riley, while they've played in the minors for a number of years, they're the ones that are leading the way right now. And to me, you want to see a guy that leads the way right now. You know, like when Greenway went down there and had a hat trick, I mean, I'd like to believe that was a big reason why they said, "Oh, bring him back." I mean,
oh, sure,
well, I think the plan was, but I'm certainly that made that. Oh yeah, you know, he got the message. He got what we were wanting out of it. Same thing, I think the year before they sent Erickson Eck down there, and he had like 4 points in three games. So clearly, he got the message and dominated. I'm still waiting for that from Cunnan, and until he does, you know, the Nashville way was always through Milwaukee, and that's something that Fenton has said from the beginning, that now the way to the Wild, you know, the way to St. Paul is through Des Moines.
Good. You know,
which I think is a good thing for development.
Yeah. Well, especially considering
Fenton!
I was waiting for that.
Iowa's cupboard has been bare. I mean, and that's been a problem for the last, you know, half decade, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, we're not filling Iowa with 35-year-olds that are trying to, like, cling onto a spot in a big league roster. So.
And there hasn't been a lot of winning culture down there until this season.
Until this season.
You
know.
Well, that's because they haven't had guys going up and down all season long either right now either.
So far. Knock on wood.
Way to go, Kenny.
Yeah, dude.
He keeps trying to kill it for us, doesn't he?
You know, yeah, I'll be down in Dallas.
Boo. He's going to be a Stars fan.
Say hi to Norm Green for me.
I'll be the one guy with season tickets with the Norm Green still sucks sign.
All right. Next question in the T-Hane lightning round.
T-Hane lightning round. This current roster is what many of us thought it was, deep enough to secure a playoff spot. Do you think Fenton tries to pull off a splashy deadline move or just run with the status quo? Are we talking
playoffs?
November playoffs? Right now? What month are we in? Are we in November or are we in like March?
We might as well say it's December at this point, but
yeah, fair enough.
Has anybody brought up yet anything about the fact that we finally got rid of Fletcher by I've walked away to get everybody drinks and all that shit.
No.
Nobody's even brought that up.
No.
I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about that many episodes ago when I wasn't around.
Yes.
But holy shit. How the fuck have we not even discussed that yet on the fact that Fletcher's gone and why is Boudreaux not right on the cusp? And this is kind of important for this question to a certain extent because Boudreaux hasn't brought us deep in the playoffs at all.
Fenton!
Fenton came through there, and I mean, honestly, you know, we're kind of looking at a new future here, and I don't think that we're necessarily ready to blame, you know, any sort of faults or anything on Boudreaux at this point. Honestly, when I take a look at things, I know that it was a little bit of a rocky start to the season, but you know, hey,
it was not a good start,
right? But you know, I gotta say that we pulled around and pulled through. Still, at this point, I mean, we don't go on losing streaks longer than a couple of games usually. So, I think to that point, I think that Boudreaux is definitely, you know, he's coaching the team well, and I don't see that the players are having any issues with the coach.
I mean, like, what sort of move is Fenton going to make, honestly?
His hands are pretty much tied right now with a lot of the contracts that he has.
The contracts he has, what you have in Iowa, what are you going to move, and what are you going to get out of it that's better than what you have?
I mean, most
probably going to have to go with what you got.
Okay. Exactly. So, actually, the real question is, would he move Staal? Because Staal's the one...
You move Staal if you're out of the playoff race.
That's the only reason you do it.
That's the only time you move Staal.
And Staal would be a rental player for whoever he goes to, and then you'd hopefully maybe sign him back next year.
But you're
maybe
depending.
He's going to get a raise from his $3.5 million.
Yeah,
most definitely.
Yeah, but I mean he doesn't have a like we've been saying, his cupboard is pretty bare, so he doesn't have a whole lot of talent to trade. So,
yeah, I mean, are you going to go like the old Fletcher route and just hand out draft picks like candy? Or what?
His cover is kind of full of a bunch of ramen that nobody wants to eat right now.
Well, and I was going to just say, I mean, yeah, the prospect cupboard is bare, but the salary cap is tight.
Yeah.
You can't, totally, I mean,
what are you going to add?
Yeah. Even if you trade, you're going to have to trade someone that
you're
going
to have to trade
in.
Salary for salary.
Yeah.
Which means you're either hoping for less. Which is what if this was Doug Risebrow, that's what he would be going after.
Oh, God.
Dumpster Doug.
Dumpster dive.
I mean, like, if you talk about contracts you want to get rid of, are you seriously considering at this point getting rid of Coils?
It had to almost be like a Coil or a Nino writer.
A Coil or Brodine. A Nino, right?
Maybe a Brodine.
You give it a Brodine, too? I think he's just solid. He's not spectacular, but he's solid.
Actually, I don't think you want to screw with your defensive line right now.
I think Brodine is overrated, I think. For the amount he's paid.
Nope.
For the amount he's paid.
What is he making? What does he make?
4.2?
Something like that?
4.2 or 4.5, something like that.
I think 4.2.
I think for what he brings, that's probably...
Dumba's making like $1 million more. And
6 million.
Six. Well, yeah. 1.8 more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nearly $2 million more. But like, I don't know. Do you get a Dumba level at less than 4.2?
No. And the other thing I would say, and I mean, let's just look at the history here. I mean... Brodine and Coyle especially have been the subject of trade rumors pretty steadily for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And apparently no one really wants him that much.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
It's like the last kid picked for a kickball team. You know? No one really
all the crazy...
climbing all over themselves. I mean, you can offer him and you can try to, you know, there's definitely some things that are interesting, but neither pick is sexy enough for any GM to want to, like, to give you, oh,
they're not going
to
hang their hat on.
Give you William Nylander for him.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, exactly. Like, how long can you hang on and be like, oh, but there's potential there?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, these guys are old enough now.
They're
forwards,
almost
30, just like,
you know?
I mean, they're like,
there's some low hanging fruit. Like, you know, if you want to try to do kind of like what the Wild did back with the Nino trade, you know, trading Cal Clutterbuck for Nino, who was a prospect that a team had given up on.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the Islanders actually specifically, Josh Hosang is a guy that's been sitting on the shelf for a while.
Yeah, but Garth Snow is not there anymore, right?
True, but they're still not using him.
Yeah.
And
true.
they may figure, hey, Charlie Coyle in our lineup or something, you know, that's the kind of trade you're gonna have to make and hope that it takes off.
Yeah, right. That it works out on your end.
Yep.
That's a lot of hope.
I honestly think that Fenton is smart enough to be able to pull those trades. I mean, think about when he moved Erat and got
Erat and got Philip Forsberg.
And got Forsberg back. I mean, like if you can flip something like
if you
that,
can fleece somebody,
right? But at the time, you have to remember, the Caps thought they were going for it, right?
Yeah.
And like Erat might be like the last piece that they needed, so you give up a little bit. Martin Erat's ever going to be the last piece that anyone needs. But like at the time, you think like, you know, he's productive. He's 20, you know, he's 20 goals a year. It's solid. Mm-hmm. And you're giving up maybe some of your future that you don't think is going to be playing for another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, fuck, man. You know, you can flip Coyle or Nino for something like that. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Even
if we're competing.
The tough thing is I don't think we'll be in the obvious sellers or the obvious buyers. Like, we'll be in that middle muck.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So what's Fenton going to do?
See, but I don't think we're actually going to be that bad off. I don't think we're going to be on the cusp where I think the problem is going to be keeping Fenton from thinking buy. You know, because remember, Fletcher was always in that. We were in the 6-7 area, and he's thinking, you know, if we add a
if we just trade this
and like the Arizona trade, who did
Martin
Hansel, like the Hansel trade,
yeah,
you know, and how awful that worked out. But he was like, you know, if you just do add this one piece, like,
but how is Hansel a lot any different than Erat though?
But that's exactly what I'm talking about, you know,
yeah.
like even if we're competing, but if someone thinks, oh, well. You know, Erat was productive. You know, Coils and Nino are not productive right now. But I don't know where that point was going. I sort of started it, and then the fucking the flag man forgot to switch the rails, and then we don't know where the train ended up. And so
I'm gonna blame
we're
the
just
Buka.
All of a sudden like we're in Deadwood with a fucking train full of coal and wood, and everyone's like, I don't know where this came from.
That can happen in a T-Hane 88 lightning round, and that honestly sounds like a great spot to end the lightning round. And we're going to move on to the next question, which comes in.
The last Twitter question.
Last Twitter question.
Ever.
Oh, look at that.
From a guy who just left us.
Yeah. From Minnesota Frosty Boy.
Wait a second.
Chris Frost.
You have to read it with a New Zealander accent.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So let me get into character from Down Under. No, wait. No, that's not
right. My God.
And then you have demotion to the fourth line.
What the fuck? That's worse than Jives.
I know. I'm trying to set him up. Go ahead, John.
Razor blades. Good razor blades.
Good eye, Mike.
Razor blades.
That's more Australian. Good eye.
Good eye, Mike. El Nino.
We're werewolves.
Still more Aussie.
Werewolves.
Demotion to the fourth line.
What?
Am I doing this thing?
You've been listening to the Pride and Prejudice podcast.
Who cares? Just keep going.
Motivation. Okay.
I think you're doing South African.
Look, I'm just gonna speak straight jive here, okay?
Oh, wait, dude, you gotta do the jive talk, man. If you're gonna speak straight jive, you gotta do jive talk.
I better hear some shaft coming out of this shit.
No, here it is. El Nino's demotion to the fourth line. Is that motivation for him to pull his head out of his ass, or is he on the way out?
Wow, we should ask him to do
quotation mark the tray bait.
Oh. That's the cleanest he's ever read his question. I think we should have him do a New Zealand accent beforehand every time.
Well, it's the last time to have him do it.
Yeah,
so.
Let's have him do it every time.
The suggestion came 3 years too late.
Six. Seven, but still.
Seven. Yeah.
Six and a half.
Ouch. Ouch. What was the question?
Could you repeat that, please?
The question is, can Nino turn it around, or is Nino done?
Yeah.
Nino.
Well, we were just kind of discussing he's up for trade bait, potentially.
Actually, just going around the table. Who's up or down on Nino? I'm down on Nino.
Right now, I'm down on Nino.
Teresa.
Teresa's down.
I'm down on Nino. Sadly.
I'm kind of down, but, you know, we talk about trade bait. Like, who wants to trade for an underperforming $5.25 million player?
Yeah.
I'm agnostic on Nino.
Fair enough.
I really think he's going to get it together. He's not there right now, but I think he's going to get it
See,
together.
See, you are moments. Truly a Minnesotan. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Land of the Frost, Justin. And I'm actually with you on that, even though I'm hopefully agnostic. I'm going to take that flip on what you were saying. I actually am standing behind him thinking he's pulling his head out of his ass right now and fighting for his spot on the team and doing well at it.
So we got two ups, four downs, an agnostic, and jive.
And I'm going to say that I'm down on Nino, but I think that, Frost kind of mentioned it here, is this motivation for him to pull his head out of his ass? I'm going to say yes, because his next step beyond the fourth line is to be a healthy scratch, or, you know, so we can move somebody else up. Like, from
or traded to Arizona.
Right? Or get traded, yes.
Well, he could get shorthanded goals there.
Yeah. We're trading with Arizona Shorty. Again and just swapping back and forth with the Predators?
Them or Buffalo?
Or Buffalo.
Sorry, Jeff,
I'm going to agree with you on that, though. I think that is motivation.
Definitely.
I mean, but, like, isn't this the sort of production and the inconsistency that is the reason the Islanders moved him to us in the first place?
It totally is. You know, I mean...
So is that just Nino? That's just what it is?
Well, you know, every 2 or 3 years we get El Nino coming through.
there's no warming of his Pacific.
Bringing up the Islanders, however, his numbers have been better with the Wild than they ever were with the Islanders.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, for sure.
Weatherly speaking, this is supposed to be an El Nino year. Does that mean that he's off?
Oh, no, I think he's actually just going to come into play later.
Yeah, he's just getting started.
Yeah, like so we've just seen him turning the corner on acting like he's fighting for his job.
This is La Nina Niederreiter.
La Nina Niederreiter.
Does he hit 20 goals this year?
Yes.
Yes.
He's got a long.
He's got a long run, but there's a lot of time left.
This is true. We're like, you know,
we're 25% of the through the season.
Week 4. Okay.
I think he could streak out, and I think he could get it. I think he'll have a solid streak in there that'll.
He'll get his 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the 20s. I'm confident he's getting his 20. I'm going to say only 22, but.
Only
that's
22.
His number. I see what you did there.
Way to go, Twos. Way to go, Twos.
Yeah, double deuce.
Come on, Twos.
The deuce, dude.
Nostrakavanus.
Who gets more goals, Nino or Dumba?
Dumba.
Just checking.
That's a easy
now, wait. Now, he said, now, you can't say Dumba when you say, unless you think that Dumba's going to get more than 22. I think Dumba's ceiling is 18 to 20.
At the even though he's already at 10
right now.
Oh, at the top of the show,
wow,
when
that's
I was
a
saying
big
Dumba's
drought that you're expecting him to have.
Was that? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Kenny, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, man. That's a big drought you're expecting Dumba to have if you think he's going to top off at 18.
I don't think he keeps up that pace. He's been doing really, really well, but I don't think he can keep up that pace.
I mean,
think about it. He's on pace for like 39 goals.
Yeah, but you're talking eight goals in the next like 60
though.
Games, though.
That's unrealistic, though. It really is.
Does he hit 30?
Yes.
No. I don't think he's going to hit 30. I do not think he's going to hit 30.
If he hits
30,
he wins the Norris.
That's like a no-brainer right there.
I mean, given. But I'm going to stand by what I said at the top of the show when I said Dumba is finally acting like the player when we first got him up into the Wild organization properly and playing for the Wild, what we all prognosticated for him on having a 25-goal season. I'm going to stand by that with Dumba. I said that at the top of the show as well, and that opinion has not changed.
No, you're right. It definitely should be. It should definitely
Dumba
be
will make it there. 25.
40 and 40?
Dumba's going to hit 25.
I think he's going to have 55 goals.
Jesus Christ.
We've got the second coming of Nick Lidstrom.
Yeah, no, it's going to turn into Gordie Howe by the end of it. Oh, sorry, Bobby Orr.
I think he's going to be an 18-goal scorer. And the reason for it is just because we're already seeing it on the power play. Teams are leaning over more to his side, which is really where he's kind of exploded, playing in that kind of like Ovi.
Ovi Kitchen.
Yeah, and quite honestly, it's we don't have enough other weapons like the Capitals do or even like the Jets do to make that kind of shot work all the time. But even 18 goals, I mean, there's nothing to feel bad about that.
But you only need one guy that does that, though. Yep. You know, and if that's our one guy, that's
true. But it's
not
easier
bad
to take away when it's one guy versus if it's one or two.
But Ovechkin still scores 30 a year. You know,
but there's other weapons to account for. You got TJ Oshie, you got Backstrom, you got Jaron Carlson.
We got
we got JT Brown.
I mean, I'm just saying, the most effective we've seen someone play Dumba is Winnipeg, and they're in our division, you know, and they had someone step up and get in front of him. Yeah. I don't know that people in the Eastern Conference are going to be paying that much attention and actually do that. You know, I think people in the West might try to take away Dumba, but I honestly think he's, you know.
But all teams look at tape. It's not like they don't have an idea what the Wild are going to do.
No, but I think a lot of
you're
going to
see it in film.
You're going
to prioritize it the day before.
I think a lot of teams don't. What am I trying to say? I just don't think a lot of teams put like teams that don't play you all the time. They don't think it's as big of a deal as
the respect isn't there.
Right.
You know, so it's like it's easy to go, and we've seen that with the Wild playing Washington, and they'll leave Ovi to just clean up goals in that little spot there, you know, in his
kitchen. That's absolutely ridiculous. Nobody should be leaving Ovi open in his kitchen.
But we do.
I know. It's stupid.
Tons of teams do. Yeah. I mean,
as fans, we can see that. How does the coaching staff not know this?
Yeah.
It's true.
Seriously.
Why don't we ever cover Ovi?
Why are we coaches Ovi in the league?
Because we have armchairs and we act like people who pretend they're better than them.
Sure.
If only we made the millions.
If only.
If only I had Quenville's paycheck. Right.
Again, finally they got rid of Fletcher.
If only I could do shots off of a ski.
Kane, you go out in there and score a
goal. Can we do
right
shot
now
skis? Do we have a shot ski here?
Yes, I'm ordering them up right now.
Are you really?
Who's getting Buka with me?
I'll take,
can't we
yeah
do a good shot?
Buka.
Because we're
in three
in the box.
You should have wrote something down on the goddamn slip I was just passing around there.
I don't want to do
shots. I'm writing it down. I'm making sure that it spells out five instead of an S this time. So,
for those of you at home, back around sure, the first time I took a break from microphone, I passed around a slip of paper asking if anyone needed drinks. Kenny wrote an S that was easily read by the bartender as a five.
Just a small little difference.
See, I got in trouble when I was in middle school for writing my fives like S's. Uh-huh. And so I got it got grained into me, you know.
Be very deliberate about how you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, it was for Nintendo codes.
Exactly.
About down, left, right, A, B start?
Right.
Or BA start, sorry.
No, because remember, like, old video
games,
you had
to
write, like,
Xanadu.
It gave you,
doing?
Like, a specific
the
code,
cheat code
that you had
yes
to write.
Yeah.
Not even a cheat code, but, like, if you had saved, it would give you, like,
code.
A code
A,
that
B,
you had to
B
write
and you'd have
down
to type it in, yeah. Way back in the
okay
far back.
We're going
across through the zeros instead of the O's.
We're not talking hockey at this point.
Totally off the rails, but ABBA. Does anyone else know that?
ABBA?
The code.
Yeah.
Up, down, up, down, left, right.
Yeah, up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, BA start.
Konami code.
Konami code is different.
Konami code is different.
Jive and I just shouted out Konami. Which one were you talking about?
It's Ikari Warriors.
Ikari Warriors, that's right.
Contra. And that would continue your game basically forever.
No, that was Contra.
No, he was talking a different code than we were.
You're thinking Konami code.
Yeah, we were doing the Konami code.
The Konami code?
Konami.
That's
and,
start.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jive, you're off the podcast.
God damn it.
Oh,
this is why we can't have
this
nice
this is your
last
show, Jive.
Jive.
It's like playing Doom and you did IDDQD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Jive.
Or, you know, like, say, StarCraft and there is no hell level. All right.
Jive. In solidarity, if Aaron's kicking you off the podcast, I'm quitting.
Or was it
I'm gone.
F off.
Was it MKI or MKL for Wolfenstein?
Yeah, something like that.
MLK. MLK, yeah.
MLK. Oh, it's perfect.
It is, actually, when you think about it. Yeah.
I have that for some
my reason. Leaven.
Oh, my Leaven.
My Leaven.
My labia.
So,
oh, yeah,
it's a different game.
Completely different game.
That's a different game.
Josh.
Josh.
any more Twitter questions?
Also, who gave a card for the tab we have going
we'll,
down?
We'll
here
take care of it.
No,
sit
but
down.
Whose card is it under?
Nobody's right
I'm
now.
I'm sitting. All right. I'm listening.
They're wrapping up.
So, we're wrapping up.
Oh, fair enough. Never mind. This order will get taken care of by ourselves.
So, I want to give a big shout out to all of you because
yes,
it's been an amazing, fun.
And Chris Frost, even though he
and
left
Chris
us.
Frost,
he had commitments he had to get to.
Yeah, he's.
And yeah, to Chris, let's do a quick drink to that since he had to leave early.
Cheers to that.
Okay. Cheers. Right. Well, a lot of empty glasses.
Empty.
Right. But it's been a great
they didn't
run.
Plan ahead.
We will. Well, I think we'll do a few shows here and there.
Well, you know, and Twitter will still be active.
Yep.
You know.
I just want
we're
going to
be the same smartasses that we always have been.
Thank you guys for bringing me back. And
yeah.
Kenny can attest to this. I damn near started to cry when he asked me to do the intro.
Somebody, I think, started cutting tears in the back hallway
yeah,
over there.
I totally started crying when he asked me to do, hey, we want you to do the intro. I'm like,
it's like, dude.
Thanks
yeah,
for the respect
yeah
on that from
absolutely,
way back in the
man,
far,
yeah
far back. And thank you to everybody I don't properly know and just met today for being a part of it. because I'm sure you, I know you've all been guests on the show, and you all have no idea who the fuck I am. So thank you for putting up with
Derek
my
might.
Chaos.
I've listened to some of the old ones.
I sincerely want to say thank you to everybody that's sitting at the table on both sides for everything and putting up with me today and inviting me to be a part of this.
Yeah, no, it's been a great run. We are all three of us are extremely happy that all of you came out who have been previous guests on our show.
Oh yeah.
To come out and big farewell party.
You know, I should have known something was up when everybody got invited to do the show, and I was like, is it just some sort of like post Thanksgiving spectacular?
Kind of.
Well, that's how you greeted me today, asking that.
We wanted to let everybody know how thankful we are for you guys.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's a reason we timed it for this weekend.
This is the full house ending
you're
here.
You're giving me half a chub.
And backward. Only half? Where is it? Where
only
is it, Jive?
I'm really offended here.
I said Jive's giving me half. You guys are giving me
half. I was looking for the semi.
And to do it back where it started. The fact that you guys want to do it back where it started also means a lot to me.
Well, you know, bring everything full circle. And then, you know, I think almost all of you have been down here before. I don't know about Derek and Teresa. You might be the only two. I know Tim has come down and drafted a hockey team for me down here.
He's drafted his own team.
Drafted his own team down here.
Was that the year that I ran the auction and was not a part of it?
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
So you look familiar.
He did his own this year, too.
Yep. And then Chris had jumped in our league and drafted a team the last 2 years.
He took my spot in the league when I left.
Mm-hmm. And he's performing admirably, much better than you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the first season was the best season I had. I was not sure if that shit up.
I think this is another, you know, Hansley in the gutter year.
What's new?
What's new?
Yeah. I did find the stupid helmet.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You need to get a...
I remember the first year I was in it, you guys made Court wear the stupid helmet.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he earned it. Then three years consecutively.
Earned it 2 years in a row.
Who did?
Three. You had three in a row.
No, I only had two. I'm pretty sure.
We'll check the stats after the
one
show.
That's one too many.
Yeah. But, yeah, so anyways, we're all very thankful for you guys on a Thanksgiving weekend.
Do we want to do a round table about... you know, everyone saying their bits.
Yeah.
Start with...
Let's start with Teresa.
Sure.
Why me?
Well, because you're to the left of me.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason
And when
why.
You're playing cards, it goes around clockwise.
Yeah, that's the way it gets dealed out.
So, yeah, you can find me at Minnesota24 on Twitter and whatever the website is for our blog these days. I don't know.
I'll say it. It's fine.
Okay.
That's when it's his turn.
Yeah. This is Tim at Tim Nato on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Little did I know when I interacted with you guys, the Twitter handle that had such a clever, funny, booze-laden, music-laden spin to it. I didn't know we'd get into podcasts and stuff, and thanks for letting me go on the magic carpet ride.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
He's crying.
Wow, that's tough.
Hey, I'm the last one on this chain. You know how much shit I got to follow? Well, I better be spot on.
I was just going to echo a lot of what Tim said. It's kind of a bummer. I didn't know what I think I said something to my dad. I thought, maybe it's their last show. I know
you sent me a message going, hey, what's going on? Why are you doing podcasts?
Yeah.
You missed a week. You missed 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I tried to get questions out and no show. And I'm like, oh. But anyways, I just want to thank you guys for, I said this 3 years ago, for giving fans a voice. And the thing I can just say about whether it's blogging or especially the podcast, I've made a lot of friendships through it.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys, of course, and Tim, Chris, and other people that I'm just meeting right now, Justin, Beast, we're having a great time. And I don't know, it's sad, but at the same time, it's cool that we can come together like this and share it together. if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Crease and Assist.
I think you should, because quite honestly, Felska knows. Look, hashtag Felska knows.
First of all, you ought to follow Crease and Assist just for all the times Russo replies to him like, you are a fucking handful.
Actually, I'm doffing my hat to you on that right now, sir. Literally, doffing my hat to you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a beauty.
If you're not following...
You're a beauty.
If you're not following Crease and Assist, you damn well should be.
Yep.
The website is, just to get it out there, is we're at thesportsdaily.com/Crease and Assist. And if you guys don't know, I got sued by the Minnesota Wild, which is my name is Crease and Assist. It's cease and desist, thanks to Tim Nato gave me that idea. That fuck you, Wild.
That was Fletcher, right?
I probably. Because he couldn't keep anything straight.
All right, this is Justin. You can find me on Twitter at PantsBoyUSA, and I will occasionally.
I follow?
PantsBoyUSA.
You got to explain yourself.
Okay,
First,
I've been using that since I was like 17 years old.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
So I was in high school, and in Duluth, where I went to high school, like they had a Miss West Duluth contest. And I don't know why it rubbed me the wrong way. It was like, why do these young high school women get to be in some sort of beauty contest? Where's the beauty contest for young high school boys?
You still would have lost.
That's like, no. So I was like, well, then I'm going to run for Pants Boy USA. And I was the only one who signed up, so I won. And then,
what was the prize?
That I got to use the fucking moniker Pants Boy USA for forever. I mean, like, it's really, now it's just, honestly, I know any website I go to that you have to sign in and use a username, I just know Pants Boy USA will never be taken. So, like, if you ever go to a website and you look at Pants Boy USA and there's a user with that name, it's a good chance it's me.
I'm totally jumping on that now.
No, what the fuck?
I wouldn't do that.
So, yeah, man, I appreciate you calling me down to do your last show. I know I got to do the one years ago, and that was so much fun. And then we had tried to do it a couple times since. Well,
and
then
you moved away.
And then I moved away, and finally I'm back.
And, yeah.
Hey, and so, I still settled out with you on what you'd won the year you moved away.
Yes, you gave me my $5. Thank you.
$5.
For that. Although I will say I've won the league
He
twice,
told me to buy myself a beer.
So,
but.
Yeah, I got to say, this year I'm sucking it up. My goalies are letting me down, but
dude, I think everybody's goalies are kind of like going, what the
I did not invest properly in goalies.
I don't, yeah,
it makes me angry. So anyway, to a great run, gentlemen.
Thank you sir.
Well done.
Thank you.
And I just want to now at this point announce the new podcast with me and Tim and Frosty talking about the Minnesota Wild.
It's called
Name TBD. We'll figure it out. We might get we might get Felska in here. And,
well, if you do Felska, you can do four in the box.
Exactly, it might be four in the box. You might do a little four in the box action. Might call it the hot triangle. Box.
And it's going to be a porno, not
the
a
Devil's
podcast.
Three way, something I don't know. You know, it's still. Because as we all know, that's just a fancy drinking game.
All right, and as you can find me, this is Josh the Meat Beast, facebook.com/TheMeatBeast. I don't post much there other than recipes and cooking tips nowadays.
Meat.
And I can't thank the guys that are immediately to my left, Jive, Aaron, and Kenny, enough for keeping the show going when I'd leave. And I cannot thank all the people that are sitting across the table from me enough for making this possibly the best experience of coming back to where this started to have just a wonderful last time of it. Thank you guys for making sure I was a part of it.
Thanks, Josh.
And thanks all of you, especially the ones I haven't met till right now. Honestly.
Yeah, they helped grow us where we were at today, too.
Salute.
Salute to all of you.
All right, so that brings it.
That brings us to us three
around the table down here. Yeah,
Aaron, you want to call this one out one last time?
I don't know where you're going with that, but okay.
Don't I get to say something?
You do, but usually Aaron calls it out at the end of the show.
You let me bring it in. I'll take it out the last time if you guys all want to say goodbye.
Absolutely. Yeah, you damn well better.
Yeah, that works.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, all I know is I came down. I had listened to these guys, running their hockey podcast. I was a huge hockey fan, so that was right up my alley. And listening to these guys running their podcast. And then next thing I know, I got an invite down to actually, help out and run some samples and,
be our producer.
Yeah, be the quote-unquote producer, even though you guys are all probably a lot better at producing the crap than I am. But I appreciate the opportunity that I was given, and I didn't know that it would lead to, these years of doing this podcast. It's been great fun. It's a great time to get together with my current friends who I already had, and I've also made, as Velska kind of mentioned, I've made some great friends even outside of that, that small little circle right there, and friends for a lifetime, and that's a great thing for me. I totally appreciate it. I appreciate everyone at this table, everybody out there who has given our podcast a chance, given us a listen, and it's been fun. But yeah, I'm gonna end it there. You can always follow me. I'm on Twitter. I am at Jive Midnight.
Well, and I know, little did I know, come down here, and jumping in on Josh's little podcast that he's recording on his Korg, little multi-track thing.
D-88.
Yeah. Yes.
Way back.
You were sitting at the bar at that point, though.
As we started recording Puck and Drunk before it even had a name.
Dude, we did
a handful.
A whole season at the tail end of the first season, I believe it might have been the second, that Kenny happened to be wasted, and I couldn't even give him headphones that day.
Well,
that happens often.
Well, this predates all of the things you know about Drive by years.
I don't even remember the name of the camera anymore, but I had a little camera on the bar. Watching the three of us.
And we were all posted around the very corner so it could fit us all in.
It was boring as hell watching the video in hindsight.
No shit. But, I told you shouldn't record the video.
No.
I'll quit interrupting.
The video was pretty bad. But, I think the one thing that I've taken out of all of this, this is our seventh season, is all the true friends I've met. Derek, I would have never met you. Tim. Chris, Mr. Frost, there's so many people that we've interacted with. It's been just, canny. I can think of Tony, Andy. He's been on the show, right?
Adam from Colonial Boys.
I was on that. That was the one show I was on.
That was your gun.
Yeah.
David Birdbag, who I still see on the sidelines. Yep. From time to time.
I mean, we've had so many great people on the show. What I'm taking away from this is the amount of friendships I've gained. Obviously, Justin, I've known you before the podcast, but it's just been awesome. And it's a good time. And it's sad to see it go, but I'm also happy that, we can still do it, and we can end on a high note.
I think if we still do this like once every 2 months, we'd still be the longest running independent Wild podcast. I think that would still count, right?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off by saying, dude, we're pushing for this Summit sponsorship that a guy across the table from us never made happen. And if that would have happened, we could still be going on.
I ruined it.
That was the end of the podcast.
We didn't have
a beer sponsor.
We didn't have the...
Also, Romana totally screwed us.
Romana screwed us the most.
That was my question I was going to ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been absolutely wonderful. It's been a great bunch of years. From the from the days of sitting around the bar recording to working the very first
Crashed Ice event.
Where had press passes.
Pictures of us standing in the press room.
You know, we're keeping warm as everybody else is freezing.
Somehow we got
the
press
only
credentials.
Day it was negative, and that was Brandy Brown.
Yep.
From back before you guys were involved.
No, we were because then she was also on the show a few times.
She'd been
too.
On the show before. Yeah,
but the funny thing was is we showed up to the press tent and they're like, we don't have you on the list. But
we showed up to the hotel where we had to get our badges.
They're like, we'll just give you badges anyway. So it was like one of the best things.
You're
ever.
One of Crashed Ice, so go figure.
That's the Minnesota Nice thing to do.
So, you know, there's been a ton of great stuff. You know, hanging out with all of you guys that were here today, Teresa, Derek, you know, Tim, Chris, Justin, you know, hanging out, do fantasy hockey. Josh, obviously seeing you from time to time when I'd come down here hanging out to catch shows. You know, Megan Canny, who I've hung out with a couple of times on various occasions, went to a hockey game with. The Three in the Box barbecues that we had people over.
When all was my invite sent for those? For fuck's sake.
I'm pretty sure you got it.
I think
those.
I had your old address at that point. So they got lost in the mail.
In the email, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been a fun run, guys. And no, we're going to.
A fun run.
It's been a fun run. We're obviously not going to stop doing what we're doing. And there will be some episodes. And I don't think it's definitely an end. I think it's more so an end of. It's not going to be a regular thing. I think if we do it, it's going to be a special occasion. You know, the series ended.
Or we've drank enough. We're like, let's go record. Okay, sure, why not?
Yep.
There may have been booze involved in the making of this podcast. Yeah.
Then you don't want to listen to it.
It'll be the series ended, so here's the made-for-TV movie after the fact special. But, yeah. So, anyways, you can still keep following me at Nostrakenius on Twitter and on Instagram.
All right. That does bring us to the end of the show.
Yes.
I very much need to thank Chris, Teresa, Derek, Tim, Justin, and these three gentlemen immediately to my left that have kept this show going after I had to walk away from it. Jive, Aaron, and Kenny, all of you mean the world to me right now for being a part of this, and thank you. Let's start saying goodnight. Jive, you're up.
Yeah. peace out. Signing out.
I'm stupid. I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes. That's about it.
Just saying that gave me a sound.
I found the samples now.
Oh, look, he found what he had at the top of the show.
3 hours later.
All right,
I just wanted to say that.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Have a good night.
Toodles.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Those three guys are supposed to say goodnight for last, not me.
Good night, everybody.
Poker
Thanks
rules.
For listening to the show.